It's time for career builder number three. The first one we had about do's and don'ts in writing about a CV, and second is 2 weeks ago. It's about writing the application through email. And now we are going to introduce you how to make an interview, but this one is not really a face-to-face interview. A notice of a face or face interview, no, but please wait a moment. There's a very important part missed by you, the telephone interview we're talking about. And what's more, sometimes you even didn't realize that you had just had did a telephone interview. Somebody tested you on the phone, right? Here in our studio is Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. If you have any questions in this regard or in job seeking in general, please don't hesitate to ask. We will answer your questions during the show. So please send your questions through our Weibo, 英语环球广播, or through WeChat, 英语环球 News Plus, or you can send your questions through email, newsplus@cri.com.cm. So welcome to the studio again.
Hi, good afternoon, Robert. Great to be with you.
Yes, my first question is that, you know, should we all prepare for a telephone interview? I mean, when do you know it's going to be an interview, or it's just a very casual, you know, core to confirm some dates and time and number and when to meet and when not to?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the point, really. It's there are two types of telephone interview. One is a prearranged interview, which where you have maybe one of the interviewers is in North America or Europe, so if geographically you can't physically talk face to face, and this is something that's pre-scheduled. But because of the volume of applicants in China, a lot of the time you'll have someone from the HR department call a candidate, and the candidate might think, well, you know, they're calling me up to arrange for a real face-to-face interview. But that call lasts a little bit longer and actually turns into an interview itself.
So it means that sometimes that call is so critical, it's going to kill a chance.
Absolutely
right. Or give you a chance.
So it can
create a chance.
It could actually be that you pass the email letter and then you don't do well on the job telephone interview, and that can cost you the job, which would be really bad.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about it, it takes 20 minutes to talk to someone over the phone, but it takes an hour and a lot of organization and administration to actually have someone come to your office. So telephone interviews are quite efficient things to do. And, you know, the first impression that you make is really important. Ultimately, people work for people. It's all about building rapport with the people and the organization that you're potentially going to work for. So it's super important to get right. Yet a lot of people are ill-prepared, don't know what to do, and frankly need our help. So hopefully we will give them some help.
So what shall we prepare to impress the person at the end of the telephone line?
Yeah. Well, I think the first point I would say is you've got to know what you've applied for. And very often people might apply for, you know, 10 or 15 different jobs, especially if in the younger category. And it gets very embarrassing when you as an interviewer, you ask someone, so what do you know about the job and the company that you're asked the company, and they don't know what they've applied for. So make sure you do know. Do some homework. Do some research. For example, nothing irritates me more than when I interview people for my company, and I say, so what do you know about my company? And all they do is repeat the first page of my website, which I wrote 7.5 years ago when I set the company up. You know, it's like, dig a bit deeper. There's 500,000 search results for RMG Search on Google.
So how could people dig into information that it's not really on your web page?
There's an amazing amount you can find. I think certainly if you go for an interview with a bigger company, you know, one great place to go is an annual report. On Google, you have a device for sending you notifications of new things, and I'm sure on Baidu and the Chinese search engines you have the same sort of thing. So there's a lot of stuff you can do, but there's also, you know, preparing to have that interview. If you know that you could get a call at any time and you work in a super noisy environment, what's your plan? You know, where are you going to talk to the person? Preferably do the interview, have that call on, with a landline. Make sure you're in a place where there's not lots of background noise and or, you know,
try to guarantee the signal.
That's right. Mm-hmm. In a busy restaurant or something. Smile. It's amazing that you can actually tell somehow, I'm not sure how, that people are smiling down the phone. You know, are they concentrating on what you're saying? It's amazing how these little things do come across, even though it's only by phone.
Don't assume people cannot see you.
Exactly.
It's like the radio performing techniques. If you want your program or your voice sound smiling, you truly have to put on a smile.
You do. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Right.
I was actually just thinking about that as we were saying it. And when I go to an actual interview, I really like to, you know, sit up straight and wear a really nice suit and make sure my hair's looking nice and, you know, make sure I'm presenting myself as professionally as possible. But I guess a lot of those things probably won't count on a telephone interview. So I was wondering, how would you present yourself when you're on the phone?
Well, let me give you a technique. Yeah. Let me give you a very specific technique. So we use an acronym called STAR. Now, STAR stands for Situation, Task, Action, Result. And it's a great way to explain what it is you do. So let me give you an example. So let's say the situation is I am a sales representative for a stationery company, and my task is to sell to the top 500 hotels in Beijing. The action I took is that I visited 20 customers a week, and the result was that I overachieved my sales targets in the first 2 years I was in the company. Now, in one sentence, one pretty short sentence, you've got a lot of information across.
Yeah, I think it's I advise our listeners who are listening to us, please remember this word STAR, STAR, situation, task, action, and result.
That's right.
Very powerful. Do you think we have to do something with our voice?
Yes, we do. That's a very good point, Manling. When we're talking over the telephone, of course, we don't have the visual cues that we have when we're talking to someone face-to-face. So I would recommend slowing down your voice, almost like I'm doing now, to approximately 66% of the speed that you would normally speak at. If you talk to someone in a bar or one of your friends at this sort of pace, you want to slow it down to this sort of pace. The other thing is, stand up. You know, if you're on the telephone and you're standing up, you can breathe properly. Mm. Whereas if you're sitting down,
suffocating.
It compresses your chest. You can't breathe properly. And often when people sound very nervous and then talk very fast and they talk a bit like this, that's because they're sat down and they can't breathe properly.
Interesting.
That's another technique and tool that you can use. But also there's stuff you can do. Do a role play with a friend. You know, practice. There's lots of questions which will be obvious in a job interview, things like, you know, what are you doing at the moment? Why are you coming to interview with us?
Robert, find your professor to practice with, because you get nervous. If it's your best friend, you're so, you know, natural and relaxed, it's not going to do you good. I'm joking.
I have to say, I thought that standing up advice was really interesting. I never thought about the impact that sitting down can have on your voice. Maybe we should try doing an edition of Studio Plus standing for 3 hours, Manly.
3 hours is too much, maybe. But we can definitely stand up in order to sound better.
Huh? For sure.
Okay, so we try to impress with good voice, good speed of voice, and good questions. Be prepared about the company or whatever. And remember the word STAR. Again, situation, task, action, and result. And the next is that what sort of questions will HR actually ask in the telephone interview before we meet?
Yeah, well, of course, often you'll be asked why you want to leave your current position or why you're leaving. What I would say here is that you have to be slightly careful with sensitive reasons. But in my experience, there's always more than one reason, often five or six reasons someone will leave a company or move to a new company. So select reasons that are good reasons, and good reasons are positive reasons. We don't ever want to talk in a negative way about our former company, because it comes across. I write down on people's CVs whenever I hear negative words, because there's a pattern of behavior and thinking and talking which is all linked together.
So there are also do's and don'ts. Some of the words already written down by you as negative words.
Absolutely.
listening to Studio Plus. We will be back very soon.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus, something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus. Studio Plus.
You're listening to Studio Plus, and the show is now about the career builder. This is time for career builder. We are in the midst of a conversation with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia focused executive search business. And just now we were talking about, you know, what questions will HR ask in the telephone interview before we meet, and the do's and don'ts. Please be more sort of specific.
Yeah.
Let's go through the do's and don'ts.
Sure.
Don't do this.
So one definite do, if you like, if we excuse the expression, is make sure you're really clear on, before the interview happens, on why you would be marketable and interesting to that company. So go through, be honest with yourself and realize what is attractive about your past and your experience. What are the tangible, specific reasons that companies want to see people? One of the differences between Chinese and foreign interviewers is that the Chinese HR people are rather famed for their so-called poker interview faces, but they listen intently, in my experience, and they want specifics. They don't want waffle, they want facts and details. So make sure you're really clear before the interview on what that is. You know, be cheerful and polite. You know, no one wants to employ someone who's kind of down in the mouth and is just not very interesting.
A cup of coffee will do, huh?
Indeed. Don't lie. You know, because you'll be found out about things later on if the process has been done professionally and properly and with a reference check. Don't have a conversation in a noisy place, you know, basic stuff like that. So there's lots of different things you can remember and think about. And a final one that I think is really important at the end of an interview or after an interview is to say thank you. Say thank you for your time.
Be polite.
I appreciate you meeting me. And send them an email. Say, look, we had this telephone call. I just wanted to say I appreciate you calling me, and I'm looking forward to the next stage. Ask what the next stage is going to be for. Don't be afraid to be forward. Don't be backwards in going forwards, as we say in the UK.
So this is actually still, we are still on the telephone interview.
That's right.
It's not face-to-face.
That's it.
Even though we cannot see each other, you have to pay attention to your, what about body language?
Yeah.
Do we need to, you know, mind our, you know, our body moves?
And this is why we stand up. If we are standing up, chest out, maybe using arm movements, just like I'm doing now, that tends to indicate confidence. It makes us feel more confident. We will talk with more panache and passion. And, you know, you can tell a lot. You know, I think something like 50% of communication is intonation. 7% only is the words that we talk about, and the rest is body language, which is an interesting fact.
The power of voice.
Absolutely right. And
gestures?
The way we say it.
Can I do gestures when I was...
Manling, you can do gestures, for sure.
Because gestures help us to feel good.
For sure.
Wow.
They help you exaggerate what you're trying to say.
It's not exaggerating. You know, just now Robert tell us that don't cheat. Don't say anything that
no, when
is
I
not
say exaggerate,
true.
I mean exaggerating your voice.
No, I'm joking.
One question for Robert, actually. Are there any particular questions that you've come across in your experience that you've noticed are ones that people often trip up on telephone interviews?
Don't go anywhere near salary or compensation and benefits. Or what are the working hours? Or, you know, how many days annual leave do I get? That just says to the person that's calling you,
it's too early.
You're comparing, yeah, exactly. You're comparing this job with other jobs, and it's just not appropriate.
But when do you think it? You know, okay, definitely it's inappropriate on a telephone interview.
Yeah, sure.
Leave
sure.
it sometime later, maybe.
You know, as the detective interviewing the prisoner says, it's the last question. It's, oh, by the way, how many days holiday do I get in this job? It's something you ask in a subtle and you know, almost unimportant way. You don't make that your first question. You know, your first question should be something which demonstrates your interest in the company.
But Robert, do you think this is a hypocrisy? Because everyone cares about these questions so much. They wanted to ask them in the first, you know, round of questions, but usually...
It's kind of like an etiquette that you've got to have, even though you would prefer to be a bit more blunt and just say, excuse me, how much are you going to be paying me?
It's never right to start the conversation with these things.
I can tell you, I hire a fair amount of sort of fresh graduates or people in their first or second job. And you know, if it's their first question or first priority, I'm just not interested. And a Chinese friend of mine put it in a very articulate way once, and they said that in your mid to late 20s, that's your investment time in your career. That's where you invest in opportunities and learning and training and development. And then you'll be repaid handsomely if you do well in your 30s and 40s.
It's actually true. The money thing is never the priority when you start your career. It's the potential opportunities that's lying there for you.
For sure not. And one point to make, that we train our staff at our company and in previous companies I work for in the recruiting business, if a candidate just talks about money, then leave them, because we don't want to put them forward. It shouldn't just be about that.
Can, on the other side of that coin, could you talk about potential training schemes that they offer at the company?
Maybe yes.
You should talk about the training. Training is a great question, because it's demonstrating an interest in your own development, and that's something companies will like. Maybe isn't the first question.
No.
And if what you're really asking is, do I get to fly to America twice a year,
free tickets,
free holiday, then that's a separate thing. But how will I be developed is probably a better way to put it.
Robert, my understanding of the whole conversation is that you have to show your passion and your interest in the company first, right?
That's right.
As for training, of course, maybe later, a second question, sure, or even later, and never really ask about how much you're going to pay.
Yeah, it's not the politest way to start a phone call.
Yes. Sure. What else shall we pay attention to in telephone interview?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things, of course, is if it is not a prearranged long replacement interview, if it's a first round screening interview, we want to take an advancement. We want to move to a second stage. So we want to end that call with a confirmation, ideally, of a second appointment. So, basic stuff. Make sure you've got a pen to write down the information. Make sure you get the email address. Make sure you confirm where you're going to go for the real interview.
Oh, a pen and a paper, something to write down, and keep the contact. To reach you again.
Exactly.
Right? Wow. Well, very good. Simple
stuff. We've definitely learned a lot today, haven't we, Manlink? Thank you so much, Robert, for that edition of the Career Builder. You are listening to Studio Plus now.